Welcome, everybody, to our newest episode of the Dragon Cast. I am Ryan Daniels, back once again with my podcast partner, Crime Victor Salazar. We've got three very special guests here joining us today. We have our wrestling expert, Mr. Eric Montgomery, over here, who's joining us on this episode. And then we are also joined by two very familiar guests. We have Adolfo Dorta and Ed Gonzalez, both from Squared Circle Expo. And we're here to talk about Squared Circle Expo 2. Probably the biggest wrestling event in the Midwest, and we're definitely looking forward to it. Guys, welcome back. How you guys feeling? You guys ready and excited and geared up for SCX2 coming up soon?
I'm ready for my blood pressure to go down, you know.
I'm always ready.
You're always ready. Yeah, man. You guys have, I know you guys have, doing conventions is definitely not anything that you're unfamiliar with. For sure. You guys both have had some hands in the convention scene. And so let's
done a few. Ed's passed out some flyers too.
Yeah, yeah. He's had some flyers here and there.
Why don't we talk about that real quickly, man? The promotion wise, now that things started to open up, you know, mask mandates is now, because I know last time we spoke, you guys, you know, this stuff was crazy. So now that things opened up, things are good to go. How's promotion working for you guys? Are you guys doing the flyer thing? Are you guys doing online promotion only? Are you guys doing public events where we're advertising there?
I've moved since the last show. I've gone from living in between Chicago and Milwaukee to living in Seattle. As you can see, the back windows, there's still light out where I'm at. I think it's about 9:30 your time for the rest of you. So as far as passing out flyers, I'm happy to do so, but I don't think anybody from out here is gonna make it to Indiana.
I'm on the West Coast too, Adolfo. I'm on the West Coast too.
Oh, really? Okay.
I'm in California. All right.
Right on.
Well, obviously we're doing the online stuff that you guys are already seeing. Of course, we are doing flyers. Me, myself, I'm in Northern Kentucky, which is just like right across the river from Cincinnati. And I've had my hand in the pro wrestling business for 20 years. So I've got a lot of people kind of playing street team at all the indie shows across the land. So, we're advertising, like you said, everything's back in full swing now. So we're good. Everything's good.
Nice.
I love to hear that. I know you guys are going to be at the exact same location this year. You're going to be at the Wyndham West Internet by the Indianapolis International Airport. But the difference is you guys have a lot more superstars coming this time around than you did last year. What's space going to be like for you guys? I've been curious about this. You guys keep making announcement after announcement, which I love to see, by the way. I'm always refreshing and checking what you guys are going to come up with. Who's going to be announced next? And the announcements have been still coming.
Still got some more to go.
Oh, man, that's awesome. I love to hear that. What are you guys looking at for space this time around? Because I know when I was there last year, you had that big, huge room where you had all the celebrity or the superstars kind of gathered around on the outside. Are you guys doing a similar setup or what? How's that going to look as far as this year compared to last year?
It's going to be a little different. We got about 10,000 square feet of additional space that we didn't have last year. Nice. If you've been to the last show that I worked with at one of the Wyndham Indianapolis West shows, you'll probably recognize the setup we're going for. It'll be a little different, but we actually have all of the space this time. We were supposed to have it last year. The hotel was remodeling at that time, so we lost a little bit. And then when we came in, the health department wanted to have us redo our entire setup literally like 3 days before the show. The setup from last year, I think we made it work well given the circumstances. It wasn't what we originally had planned. This time around, we're going to be able to do it exactly how we wanted to do it the first time around. And there's about 10,000 square feet worth of additional space that we're going to use. And we have a little bit of wiggle room as well. We can, that room that you talked about with the celebrities that went on to be where we had our wrestling show, we can expand that further than we did last year. We didn't think we were going to need it because we weren't expecting such a big show. Yeah. We actually ended up that we should have used it because the show ended up being much bigger than we anticipated, but we know a little bit better now. We got more space available, and I think it's going to be real comfortable.
That's great. I love to hear that. Because I mean, you guys, of all the events that I've been following that I'm going to be attending and reviewing this year, you guys have just been banging out superstars left and right. I love to see that. When it came to, like, I'll give you guys, you know, listening, just a little bit of a preview. Who's going to be at Squared Circle Expo? So you got Adam Cole, baby, is going to be there. Hangman Adam Page will be there only on Saturdays, what I see here. You've got people like Dr. Britt Baker will be there. You got Brian Cage, Brian Myers, Carlito. Looking forward to seeing him. You got Danhausen, which is really cool. That's cool. You got him to come out. That's going to be exciting to see him. FTR, the Good Brothers, Headbangers. I mean, you guys have a very amazing assortment, if you will, variety of superstars that are, you know, currently, you know, contracted with like AEW, WWE, et cetera, as well as a lot of others from different promotions and more. What is, when you guys are trying to get superstars to come to a wrestling show, I know this, I've had the same conversation with convention runners at other cons. Do you guys already have in mind, like when you're starting to plan for the next show, who your like front runner is going to be, or who your main attraction, if you will, is to that you absolutely want to make sure is at your show?
I'll let you get always, this one, Ed.
Yeah, you always have ideas, right? You always have plans, but you know, as plans are, plans go awry. So yeah. There are occasions where maybe if you thought of something, it doesn't work out, but especially in this one, there are things I didn't even consider at first or even think about. And here we are with so much amazing talent at the show that, like you said, you know, we've got AEW, we've got WWE represented, we've got ECW represented, WCW. I mean, I never would have imagined that we would have ended up with nearly 70 superstars over the course of 2 days. Now, that's the other thing too about the foot traffic is, you know, there are going to be a lot of people that are only going to be Friday. Mm-hmm. There are going to be a lot of people that are only going to be Saturday.
Yeah.
And then there are going to be people that are going to be both. So that's why everybody needs to get two tickets, right? You need to get a Friday one and a Saturday one because you want to meet everybody.
Yes.
You know, like I said, you always try to plan it out. You always try to, you know, get an idea, but always be ready to call it on the fly when things change.
Yeah. You know, they always say in the wrestling business, cards subject to change, right? So, I mean, it's kind of the same, exact same way with the convention, yeah?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, I was going to say, though, shout out to the fans, though, because even before we had announced anybody and, you know, we put the tickets on sale, We sold out almost all of our VIP tickets just in the pre-sale alone.
Yeah, and I saw that.
Weekend passes, I think, went in the first month when we had maybe announced a half dozen guests. And I mean, we came out the great gate strong. We had FTR, you know, Santana and Ortiz, a couple others. Yeah. So we came out the gate not fucking around. But
no,
I got to give it to the fans. We actually hadn't even planned to put tickets on sale until late October.
Early November. Okay.
And we were getting bombarded by so many emails saying, yo, when's the next show's tickets going to go on sale? We went ahead and it was easier to just put the tickets on sale than to continue to answer all the emails asking as to when they were going to go on sale. And it was the same at the hotel. The hotel hit us up and was like, hey, this is a week after the event. They're saying, hey, people are calling us, blowing up our phone. Yeah. Trying to book for next year. You mind if we just put the link up? We're getting so many calls asking for next year's show.
Oh wow!
That it's easier for us to just put it live. And I would have never ever in a million years expected that in the second year we'd be where we are. So shout out to the fans. Shout out to everybody that supported us in the first year. Mm-hmm. I know better than anybody that, you know, coming out the first time, nothing's guaranteed, and it's really hard to get people to believe in you the first time around, but we've been blessed by a lot of people in this industry and a lot of people in this community welcoming us with open arms. So thank you for that.
Yeah, that's great. Victor, you're still muted, by the way.
That's what happened. You don't press the right button, dude.
There you go.
You know what? And looking at the guest list, man, I see Ted DiBiase, Rikishi, you know, Jeff Jarrett. And these are the people that I want to say they were announced, you know, later on, not at the very beginning, right? Was that correct? And, you know, those are the ones that almost, how do you say it? It rewards the fans, man. Like you said, the fans wanted the show. They were already asking for tickets before you even had announced the full guest list. And then you get names like that coming in and rolling in. It's like, dude, you will be rewarded when you jump in early. You don't have to worry about it, especially when you know you have such a great show that you guys put on. And like I said, man, some of those names on there, it's just like, wow, dude. And if you want to see them all, you got to get both tickets, dude.
We've been sold out for a long time. We were sold out of VIP and weekend passes way before we announced Adam Cole, way before we announced Danhausen, way before we announced Britt Baker, way before we announced Adam Page. And, you know, I like working with Ed in that regard where we, you know, previous things I've done, my partners would have been saying, you know what, we can let off the gas now. We sold this show. There's no need to keep going. There's no need to give them more. And Ed and I talk every day, and it's like, hey, we got an opportunity to book this name.
Yeah.
Should we give them more? And every time it's like, give them more. So we still got a couple of names in our back pocket that we've been working on. And you know, every week there's a new opportunity. Somebody will hit us up and say, hey, what about this person? You got room for so-and-so? And it's like, let me check. Yep. Bring them on. And awesome, it's man. It's been great. There's been no reason to add more heat for months, and still Squared Circle Expo is bringing heat all the way up until the event.
Yeah, I would have to say, dare I say that you, Squared Circle Expo, because I do cover the other conventions that are in Indianapolis specifically, you guys are just killing it with people. Like, you guys have been bringing it more. You've been putting the pedal to the metal as far as bringing guests in. You guys are not fucking around at all with the amount of superstars you got here. I mean, and the best part about your show is there's something for everyone and span across multiple generations of wrestling fans too, which is amazing. Cause I mean, you got people like, you know, I'm sure we're all kind of 30s, 40s, whatever, you know, we grew up old WWF, right? And then, you know, Attitude Era, ECW, Hardcore Revolution era, and then, you know, and then we're watching still AEW, right, and things like that. So I mean, for us it's a treat because we get to see the people we grew up with, and then also the people that we're currently watching now, whereas younger audiences get to see the people that they're currently watching now and get to learn about where wrestling came from before. So it's really nice that you guys have, in a way, it's almost kind of like this like a living museum that you guys have specifically curated for people to come in and experience and get to meet their people they've looked up to young and old. That's fantastic, man.
Yeah. Not to jump in, but I get asked pretty frequently if I would ever consider doing this for a living again. Like, I don't know if Ed gets asked this, but you know, I get asked, hey, are you guys doing a second show, a third show, a fourth show? When are you guys coming here? When are you guys coming there?
Yeah.
And just from my perspective, from being having once done this for a living, having once done four shows a year,
yeah,
where it paid all the bills, where it was your job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to be doing it how we're doing it. You know, I would never go back to that personally. I wouldn't want to, because right now I'm having too much fun just doing it where, you know, I have a pretty good career. Ed's got a pretty good career. We're not reliant on this show being great in order to pay our bills. So we could take chances that we would otherwise not be able to take. We could say, hey, we don't have to worry about cutting corners. We don't have to worry about sparing expenses. Let's just go hard. Yeah. And that freedom is something that I haven't felt in years. It's so good. It's so good because we can do the show that we want. We could do the show exactly as we envision it as fans. And there's no, we don't have to worry about, you know, nickel and diming ourselves.
Sure.
Because as long as we bring it hard, the fans are going to support us. I don't want to speak for Ed. Maybe he can give us his opinion. He's nodding his head.
No, we good, bro. We good.
We good.
I think that's what makes your show even better is this is like a really dope hobby for you guys, kind of, right? Like, you're just like, oh, yeah, we're going to put on this dope ass wrestling, you know, show.
I'm not going to, it's a full time job, brother. That
I'm not trying to take that away for sure. Yeah. It's taking you guys a lot of hard work, but it's also just kind of like, you know, like you just said, Adolfo, is that, you know, it's not like this is what you expect to pay bills with, right? Like, you guys are both very comfortable in your normal jobs or whatever those may be, that this is something that you can say, look, you know, this is just our side thing, but we're going to like really go hard with it and make sure to give the wrestling fans the event that they deserve, really. And I was actually going to ask you if there was plans to do multiple shows, and you've already answered that question, so I don't even need to go there with that. At some point, you never know, right?
You never know, but right now I'm too happy just doing what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, I recently had a big life change in the last year. Ed's, mm-hmm. you know, work life. I don't know how much we want to really get into it. I don't think it's necessary, but his work life has been real hectic. He's taken mm-hmm. off in other areas. And you know, right now I don't think we need to stress that. We could let it grow organically, have it come as it comes. Right now, being the most talked about wrestling show in the Midwest once a year is enough for me. And, you know, we'll see what happens, but I'm good with that.
How long does it take you guys to put a show together from the day you guys say, hey, you know what, it's time for a new show till game day? Mm-hmm. Like, how much time?
How long
we've been working on it since the week after the last one.
Ooh, oh wow. Dude, that's year round.
Pretty much. I mean, you get into the real nitty gritty 4 months out. That's when you get into go time. And then when you mm-hmm. get to 2 months out, that's when it gets really serious. But yeah. I mean, I think we took a week or two off. Well, literally, I think it was the week after the show, I moved to Seattle, and yeah, you know, we took a little bit of time to do that. But I remember we were talking about guests the first day that I moved into my new place. So pretty much since the last one.
Yeah, dude, that's crazy.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, that's not a hobby, dude. That's a full-time job.
that is definitely a full-time job. Yeah, I didn't mean to sound like I was degrading what you guys do or anything like that, but I mean, I've talked to various showrunners and stuff, and I definitely respect that it takes a lot of hard work to put on a show, no doubt about it. What is it for you guys, for both of you guys, when you were at the show last year, what was the thing that brought you guys the most joy that you guys got to see when you were at the show last year?
For me, last year was beyond hectic, right? So, you know, obviously our original date had to be canceled because of COVID, because we were originally supposed to be in 2020. And then, you know, we went into 2022, and you know, if I really looked at a calendar, and I could be wrong when I say this, we were one of the first big events that wasn't, you know, put on by like the NFL or something, but you know, one of the first big events in Indianapolis to have a giant gathering of people.
Yeah.
And it was stressful, but my joy from doing all of this is always just to see a smile on everybody's face. And I don't just mean like the fans, but when I see the guests having a good time, when I see the vendors having a good time, when I know that everybody is having a good time, that means I'm having a good time.
That's good. That's good. I
think I couldn't have put it better. You know, I've done, gosh, I think it was like 30 or 28 or whatever the number of other shows that I've done before this one with the other company. I've never had as much fun as I did at Squared Circle Expo. And I'm not just saying that. It was a blast. I mean, Ed's not lying. Going up to it, we literally were having meetings with the health department the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before the show. On Friday, they showed up. They were changing all our stuff. It was mad hectic. We didn't even know if the ring show was going to happen until it literally happened. Am I lying?
Oh, Ed? Wow. That's crazy.
Literally, we had a contingency plan to hold it in the parking lot with stadium lights. We had, you know, we were talking about shit. Can we move it to another venue just for like, we had so many plans that we were going up all the way up into the 11th hour, just as a plan B, C, D, E, F. Mm-hmm. And everything went off, you know, it was, we had to kind of pivot. We had to change, but everything went off great. And I think it really kind of came together for me when we did the ring show on Saturday. It was the most fun I've had at a show since I started in 2011. It was a blast, and seeing awesome. Everybody in the audience just having a ball. The wrestlers backstage, we were just like having a great time. Everybody was loose. Everybody was genuine. It felt real. It felt good. I don't know. I don't have the words for it, but I've literally never had as much fun with a show as I've had with Squared Circle Expo 1. And I've never had as much fun planning a sequel as I've had with SCX 2.
Yeah.
I remember a conversation with the other showrunners that we had, Brian, where nothing was in stone, man. There was health inspections. There was things changing daily. Yeah. So it was just, you know, it was very chaotic, very hectic, very stressful time a lot of people, because they just didn't know what was going to happen the day of. So I wouldn't doubt it if relief, you know, played a good part into why everyone was feeling good once it happened, because it's like, we got it done.
I think relief certainly had you know, something to do with it, but I think it was a good show. Not, you couldn't even say it was a good show for COVID. It was a good show for coming back after a long hiatus. It was just a good show. Yeah. And it felt great. It was fun. It had all of the things that, you know, when you're looking at a good show, you could look at it as, did you make money? Did you have a good time? Did both happen? And I mean, it was all of the above, but most importantly, we had a good time. And it really felt good with the fans, which goes back to, you know, they felt good enough to sell us out before we even did anything with the second show.
That's incredible.
And just being able to start a new franchise from nothing, just start from scratch, you know, with different faces, you know, most familiar faces, and just kind of do it in another genre from the ground up. It's amazing. Man. And it's great that the fans recognize that we bring them a damn good show.
Yeah. Nice community, man. It's a community. It's just great, dude.
You guys have, and you guys have absolutely built a great community around this. I'll speak for myself. SCX was the first, you know, like you said, not just big show, but show period that I had attended in over a year. And just to have that high of going back to a con or an expo again was just awesome. And I know that certainly had to help you guys out, you know, having people just come together again, have that sense of community around a particular theme, which in this case happens to be pro wrestling. And just being able to have that interaction and seeing people's faces and things like that was just awesome. You guys have... you know, you guys have absolutely created something here that I'm going to be looking forward to every year. And I know a lot of people are going to be absolutely looking forward to every single year. You guys did a hell of a good fucking job topping last year. I mean, already you guys got so many damn incredible. I think my jaw drops sometimes with the announcements you guys make. Like, how the fuck did they get this person like already? Like, this is insane. The people you have that are showing up here, and I love to see it. Like, you got I think you guys got Larry D coming, right? We just saw him. Eric and I just saw him 2 weeks ago. We were at the Impact show here in Louisville. We just saw, because he's a local guy here, so that's cool. You got some local, you know, semi-local to the Midwest people. Let's talk about vendors. What's the vendors space looking like this year as opposed to last year? And you guys got a bigger turnout on vendors as far as compared to last year goes?
That one's you, Adolfo.
Yeah, no, we've had it. You know, we're using about the same space. I think we've sold more space, but we didn't want to get greedy and go too much harder, because I think the areas that we needed more relief at were in creating more space for the celebrity signings. Those rooms got a little bit tight last year when we didn't have the space to kind of separate all of the superstars around. So as far as vendors go, we're at, you know, about like 65 or so. Last year we had a little under 60. I think that's the sweet spot. I think that when you have too many vendors, especially if it's too many vendors selling the same thing, they start to kind of poach off each other. And you know, it's, I don't think it's a good environment. I think having a nice, more streamlined kind of vendor room where you get a little bit of everything and everybody makes money is better than a watered down one. What we've used our additional space for was for bringing in more talent that's going to bring in more people to allow the vendors to make more money.
Yeah.
And rather than overselling the additional space we have, we're just going to be using it to, you know, we have more guests signing, but we're going to have more space to manage those lines and manage those crowds so that everybody's not asses and elbows all weekend long.
Yeah. Hear ya.
Yeah. No,
I want to say one thing, you know, like to Ed and Adolfo, you're bringing a kid's dream come true, because I told Brian this and he couldn't believe it. I've never, ever been to a wrestling convention in my whole life.
And well, that's hard to believe, dude. Really?
I'm 38 years old. I've never been to a wrestling convention ever. Like, this is like my WrestleMania. Ed, I've heard of you. I kind of know who you are because of, you know.
That's a surprise, right? Are you sure you didn't hear of his wife? His wife's somewhere.
Well, no, I know who his wife is too. Like, I grew up watching a lot of wrestling in Cincinnati, you know, HWA days, you know, the OG HWA. And, you know, I've heard of Ed. I've heard of his wife, Heather. You know, so it's like, it's going to be cool to finally meet the guy that I've always heard about. I'm like, man, I can't wait. You know, I'm like my boss.
Wait, what have you heard about the guy?
Well, yeah, let's just go into that, right?
But it's all probably true.
I heard he's a good dude, you know, and he don't take shit. Yeah, I heard he don't take shit from nobody. I'm like, yeah, I like those kind of people. But, and like, I'm happy that I get to do this because my boss, Brian's met my boss. He's one of the coolest dudes ever. He's like, go have fun. You know,
we're ready, man. We're excited.
That was the main reason we even started Squared Circle Expo, because there are actually a lot of pro wrestling conventions. The difference is they're in New York, they're in California, they're in Florida.
Yeah.
There was nothing in the middle. Mm-hmm. And we decided that there should be.
So here we are. How are you going to do my boy Jason Maples like that, Ed? How are you gonna do Jason Maples like that?
No. Oh, here we go.
Listen, I'm just playing. I'm just playing.
No comment on that person.
Show that has guest signers. We are a convention that has a wrestling show. It's completely different.
It is. And that's why. I mean, we got a good relationship with Jason. I was just ribbing him.
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of the difference between us and a lot of. I mean, the Midwest is chock full of wrestling events, but it's generally a wrestling show.
Yeah,
it has a couple hours worth of signers happening before the event, and then the bell rings and you get a good show and you go home happy.
Yeah,
we're 2 days of just everything wrestling related. There's Q&As, there's the ring show, there's autograph signings, there's vendors, there's photo ops. There's even a costume and promo cutting contest. There's all sorts of stuff for everybody to do. Yeah. So
that's cool.
Ed said it well. We're a convention with a wrestling show versus a wrestling show with autographs.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this wrestling show. You guys got a little bit of history between two of you. You know, that stems from the last show. We had Jake Omen win the SCX championship belt, and he's going he's going to be wrestling. I believe Matt Cardona, right, is who he's taking on in the main event. Ooh, that's going to be
right.
Are you taking notes on Matt Cardona, Ed, or is that why you're watching the?
He's watching some film right now.
Is that why you're watching the cup?
Watching the Crockett Cup right now. That's why you see me keep looking that way.
Ed's taking notes.
That's multitasking at its finest,
Jake Omen, the SCX, the undisputed SCX champion.
I don't know about anybody with YouTube is going to dispute the hell out of that.
Here we go.
Against Always Ready, the current NWA World's Heavyweight Champion Matt Cardona. It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a great card.
You know what? I could do. We haven't announced another match. We could do that on here.
That'd be great. Go for it.
What have you got planned? I see what you're doing. You're trying to kind of take away the attention from the main event.
You don't want to talk about the upcoming match.
you don't want to bring up what you did to JTG last time. And so you're kind of diverting the conversation into another direction, but go ahead, humor us.
Anyway, one other match that is guaranteed to happen at Squared Circle Expo 2 is a tag team match.
Ooh, okay.
It is It is the team of Jack Vaughn and Tim Lutz. If you remember them from last year's show, they worked with the Gun Club, I believe. And
yes,
this year their opponents will be the most professional wrestler, Brian Myers, and Brian Myers' tag team partner, Swoggle.
Oh, okay. That's gonna be good.
How many matches do we have planned, Ed? This is real house. How many of you particularly? Because I see announcement after announcement that we make where, you know, Larry D is gonna be wrestling, Fuego is gonna be wrestling. Okay. Varsity Blondes are gonna be wrestling. Everybody's wrestling at this show. How many matches are you intending to have at this
point? Last year we had 9.
Mm-hmm.
Last year there was 9 matches on the card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This year will probably be 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I noticed JTG was wrestling, and you know, we had signed the deal with Matt Cardona before JTG was available to get a rematch. So what are we doing for our boy JTG?
Your boy JTG.
Ooh.
He'll be all right. He'll be all right. He will be in the ring. He will have a match. Okay. It won't be against Jake Oman this go around. But that's after, like, if Jake Oman beats Matt Cardona, maybe we can look at that at the next one.
I have a question.
Here's a question for you guys then.
Oh yeah, go for it.
Are we having matches on both Friday and Saturday, or it's only going to be a Saturday show?
Just Saturday this time. I mean, you know, with as popular as the show has been this year, and as much as it's growing, I mean, that's probably something we're going to have to look at down the road. But you know, for right now, I think the Saturday, it's almost like the climax of the whole weekend. Like,
yeah,
everything's building. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of just, that's, you get to the top, and you know, much like other climaxes, Ed ruined the one last year and just kind of made it just a big floppy dud. But that definitely won't be the case this year when Matt Cardona takes the ring against End of the World Jake Oman.
So I'm curious, are there any plans, you know, in the future, or maybe even for this show, to maybe introduce a new championship at some point? Maybe
that's right. This year,
maybe a tag team championship, or a, you know,
we are going to crown the first ever Squared Circle Expo tag team champions.
Oh, there you cool. go. There you go. You heard it here.
Love
first.
That.
Let's go. All right. Looking forward to that. So we're gonna have a new belts. New champions are gonna be crowned.
That's
and,
right.
Looking forward to that. We'll see what Jake Oman has in store for Mr. Matt Cardona. That's gonna be a hell of a, I'm assuming, main event for this card. And I'm trying to think, man, when you guys still have more people you guys are going to make announcements for in the coming weeks. Oh man. That's
absolutely.
That's
so you got to remember too, there are vendors that have, you know, friends and cohorts in the pro wrestling business that they want to bring to their tables. And sure. while they're selling their wares, have autographs to be signed. So, you know, off the top of my head, and I could be wrong on this number, but I think we've probably got about maybe 4 or 5 still to go.
That'll be out there in the, with the vendors. That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Man.
That's cool, dude. I like that idea, dude, of having a celebrity star, a guest with the vendor, and, you know, have that interaction with the fans as they walk by. That's pretty cool, dude. I'm not so sure I've heard or seen that before, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's one
I like
thing
that
I,
idea.
That's one thing I've liked about Squared Circle Expo last year was, you know, you guys had, like, Jake the Snake was kind of out there at a table next to a merch table. And then you guys had the Godfather, which was out there, you know, just in the vendor area. I know you had Dan Severn out there, kind of sprinkled in with a few other people. That's kind of cool to just have those guys kind of sprinkled in there with some of the vendors and stuff too. And it,
sure.
you know, it breaks it up from, you know, the other area with everybody else in the room. Is there any other big things we can we can expect to see that are going to be different from last, that's going to really separate this show of besides the amount of superstars from this show to last show?
Well, I mean, you know, like you said, the superstars alone. I think we have everything from top to bottom, every superstar that almost anyone could ever ask for to come show up in the Midwest. And, you know, like I said, the Midwest doesn't get things like this a lot. So we want to make sure that they get the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our guest, I was just looking at it. Our guest list this year compared to last year's is almost doubled.
Yeah. You guys,
which is pretty crazy, you know, kind of makes you think, what are you going to do next year to top yourself? But you know, when we sat in that ring on Saturday night before things got cracking, we promised the fans that the sequel to Squared Circle Expo 1 was going to be bigger, was going to have more superstars, and was just going to be more of everything that they loved from the first year going around.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to say we've not only met that promise, but we've kicked it into the goddamn stratosphere.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fans got a guest list that's twice as big, twice the names, the names from top to bottom. It's all killer, no filler.
Yeah.
And we haven't even begun announcing our panels yet. We're going to start doing that next week. We're going to have more panels than we had last year. And nice. Everything about the show is going to be bigger and better.
That's what's up, man. Yeah, I was going to say, I noticed you guys don't have your schedule posted yet, so I'm sure we'll have that next week.
Yeah,
as far as what people can look forward to being able to attend, and with lots of Q&As with a lot of the superstars and things like that. You know, I love going to those panels and actually hearing from them and them answering questions and telling their backstory, because, you know, these wrestlers, they have so many stories to tell from their, you know, adventures on the road and wrestling in general. Is there somebody you guys have not got on the show yet that's kind of like your holy grail that you guys want to have on the show?
I don't want to say it out loud, because when you tell wishes out loud, they don't come true.
Okay, that's a good point.
All right. So are there people? Absolutely. Am I going to tell you who they are? No, not yet.
Okay.
I don't want to say them out loud, because we'll probably have them next year. Yeah, we're in the surprise.
Oh, there you go.
I can already think of like at least four right now, but I won't say them either, because I will be excited when those I'm sure when those will happen, because you guys are just knocking this shit out of the park with a wrestling expo. And I'm really glad that, you know, a lot of people see Indy as the big convention thing, but if you think about it, there really isn't that much in the way of variety. You know, there's horror shows that are there, there's you know, like pop culture conventions and comic conventions, and then that's kind of like really it, right? That's pretty much all you get. And so it's good to have something new, something fresh that isn't those things, which I'm not saying like those particular genres are bad or anything, but it's good to have something, like Ed said, you know, in the Midwest that we don't have here. You know, I think of like StarCast, you know, that happens, that the big wrestling expo that gets put on, and other ones, but we just don't have that kind of stuff here. So thank you guys for real for bringing.
Absolutely.
I'm a huge wrestling fan. I know my man Eric here is a giant, huge, huge, even bigger than me, wrestling fan. And thank you guys for real for bringing us wrestling fans, something that we can finally look forward to here in the Midwest. And we can't wait to see where it goes from here.
Thanks like I was telling Brian, on,
we appreciate that too.
Ed and Adolph, I said, Brian, on my bucket list now, I want to DJ one of these days for Squared Circle Expo, because I DJ a lot of wrestling shows down here in Indiana.
Yeah, he does.
As much as you could think of, I probably worked for him, you know. And I'm like, man, it's bucket list time, you know. And I might as well try to, you know, get my name in at the show as a DJ one of these days down the road, you know. Cause...
Never say never, brother.
Hey,
yeah, man, there you go. There you go, man.
Yeah, I mean,
so you guys are only able to sell right now individual days, right? So they want to go for the whole 2 days. They got to buy one for Friday and Saturday, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. And the reason for that is we, you know, with our main event passes, which is the equivalent of a weekend pass at other shows, you know, we're including not just the admission, but, you know, there's a poster included, there's admission to the ring show included, there's a limited edition badge included. So, nice. So there's a couple of perks outside of just being able to get in. The wrestling show being kind of the biggest one. Sure. There's only so many chairs that we could sell comfortably. I think we're getting to the point where we're either having to consider doing two wrestling shows or looking into a bigger space, because with how fast that gimmick has sold out, you know, we don't want fans to be disappointed. We want to give everybody the opportunity to see this amazing event. So hopefully in the future we could expand the space a little bit, but right now, those that bought early, they were the smart ones. They're going to be treated to the best damn live wrestling show that they've seen all year. Everyone else, they're stuck buying, you know, single day tickets, but that's no consolation prize. That's still a damn good time. You get admission to all the panels. You get admission to all the special events, all of the after parties. You get to meet and greet with all the wrestlers. You get to, you know, shop and peruse all the vendors. So even the general admission, general is too weak a name for it, because you're still having the best time that you're going to have at any show all year.
So here's a quick thought for you guys, and I'm just curious to see if this is something down the line. You know, we have Adolfo over on the West Coast, we have Ed in the Midwest. Any ideas, any thoughts, any planning, or possibly have a squared circle West Coast at some point in the future? Anything along those lines?
I mean, not yet. Anything's possible. Not yet.
Yeah, it's anything. You know,
like we said, we're pretty comfortable where we're at now. You know, from prior experience, I think when you start to water something down too much, it starts to lose its magic. I like thinking of this as that one special thing that people look forward to every year. You know, that one big family vacation that people take together, that one thing that a bunch of friends are looking forward to attending. It's like, you know, your Mardi Gras or your Super Bowl or any one of those things that's special because it's not overdone. You know, it's not happening somewhere else every month. It's just once a year. It's a big deal. And, you know, that's where we're at for now. Never say never about other stuff, but I couldn't be happier with where we're at. And I think Ed feels the same. And so, you know, that's how it is.
Yeah, but for sure. Yeah, Victor, you got a year. Fly your ass out. You got plenty. You got plenty of time to get your ass ready to come out.
start driving. Start driving now, right?
Now. Right. Yo, that driving, no joke.
Oh, I told you about it.
Good, man. Yeah, I mean, you guys, if this keeps going, man, you could do like WrestleMania, have like SCX night one, SCX night two.
let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
I know. Right. Yeah.
But I like all the ideas. I love the enthusiasm.
Yeah, man. SCX be better than WrestleMania. I hate to say
that. Hey, man. We're just excited for you guys. And we appreciate you guys once again inviting us to come out for another show. We can't wait to cover it. We cannot wait to be there. Again, I had a blast last year. It was definitely up in my top three favorite shows that I went to last year. And I cannot wait to come back. It's soon. We got less than a month, right? We're ready to go here soon, man.
Like 27 days or something like that.
We're closing in. But I'll let you guys go ahead and take off. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on this episode. And Eric and Victor and I, we're going to stick around and keep this show going.
And right, Adolfo, guys, I can't wait to meet you guys next month.
SquareCircleX.com for tickets.
Yes. Yeah, you guys.
We'll make sure we have that link and everything on there, buddy.
We will have you guys links, and we'll have links to directly go and purchase tickets, so you guys don't even have to do all that. You just click a button, and you guys can go buy tickets, because you know you don't want to miss this show. You listen to me. You don't want to miss this fucking show, because it's going to be a badass wrestling expo that the Midwest finally deserves. So thank you guys so much.
All right, take care, guys. Thank you.
See you guys.
It was great talking to you.
Later, guys.
Thank you.
Later.
See you later.
All right.
Those are fun guys, man.
Yeah, man. Those guys are great. Those guys are great. So we're going to keep the conversation going. We're going to talk pro wrestling with our main man here, Mr. Eric Montgomery.
God.
He goes by DJ Eric. He's a DJ. Yeah. he pretends.
Dude, I can't believe you haven't been to an expo. Such a fan of wrestling that you are, dude. When you said that, you got down here, fell off my chair. I was like, wow. Yeah.
Dude, like for 19 years, all I do is DJ. Like I've been doing wrestling shows for 19 years straight. And, you know, it's like, and like I told Brian, I never got to have a life outside of DJing. I mean, I've traveled to Dayton, Ohio, Knoxville, Tennessee, you know, Illinois, for wrestling shows or MMA. I'm like, I didn't have a life, you know, and then I met Brian almost a year ago and boom, we just hit it off. You know, he's like the peanut butter to my jelly.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So now we're going to be talking with Mr. Montgomery here. He is the wrestling expert and we're going to continue the wrestling conversation.
Yeah.
And, I don't know much as far as Victor's knowledge of professional wrestling. I mean, I'm sure you've watched it at some point. Everybody has had to have at some point caught, you know, a Hulk Hogan match or Ultimate Warrior or, you know, Ted DiBiase, you know, or Stone Cold, The Rock. I mean, you name it. Everybody knows those people. You may never even have watched a wrestling match, but you know who John Cena is. You know who those people are. I want to go around and ask you guys, and I'll start with Mr. DJ Eric over here.
What's up?
When you were a kid, what was that memorable match you watched that like really like you know certified you as a wrestling fan? What was that match that just you know did it for you that you're like, okay, this shit's badass. I'm all in for professional wrestling. What was it for you?
I remember going to my grandma's and watching primetime wrestling on the old school cable boxes where you had to sit there and like press the buttons and then you had to press another button. I just remember watching primetime wrestling. And then, you know, it was 92, 93 when Sting got beat the, you know, what off by Vader. I was just like crying my mom. I'm not going to school tomorrow, mom. What? Vader beat the brakes off Sting. And I remember I told Vader the story a couple of years ago, you know, before he died, you know, God rest his soul. Yeah. I said, Vader, when I was a kid, when you beat the crap out of Sting, I didn't go to school. What? Yeah, you made me cry.
Oh, you got to tell Vader that before he passed away?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, man. No,
like, I worked at the show here in Indiana, you know, it was really cool, you know. And he said, man, I was just doing my job. I was like, I don't know, you know, I didn't know back then, you know, like I know now.
Yeah.
So it was cool then, you know, to get to work with a guy that I was like, I hated when I was a kid because he beat my hero, Sting, you know. And
yeah.
It's cool, you know,
That is pretty damn cool though, man. Dude, for me, you know what it was, dude?
Yeah, man.
I don't even know what date, I don't know what WrestleMania or what pay-per-view.
That's fine, man. Yeah.
I can give you the date.
The match,
WrestleMania.
it was the match between Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, dude, the Macho Man.
WrestleMania.
And I remember that.
WrestleMania
like four or five. Four.
WrestleMania four,
four?
I think. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, no, five was five because the Mega Powers exploded at five.
See, this is the Wikipedia of wrestling, bro. He knows.
And the reason that one stuck to my mind so much is because, you know, I love Savage, dude. I love Macho Man. I love Hulk Hogan. And when they went against each other and then, you know, Miss Elizabeth jumped in the ring at the end and they were all together in the middle of the ring, you know, they held up Elizabeth on their shoulders and stuff. I was like, oh, this shit is badass. This is the stuff right here. And that's the one that really hooked me into wrestling. And I was watching it up until the middle of the Attitude era, dude, right in the middle of that, you know, once we had Mr. Sacco and the Rock and Sock Connection, all that good stuff, right around there is when I started to trail off. So, you know, I had a good 10, 15 years of wrestling before I started to really venture off of it. But that was the one though. It was Macho Man versus Hulk Hogan.
Macho
Man, Randy Savage. Yeah.
The one for me, It's got to be Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy in a steel cage match, WrestleMania 2, baby.
Yep.
That is definitely the match that I, when I was a kid, watched. And I was like, okay, this is badass. Like, because that was my first time ever watching a steel cage match. I didn't know what they were. Yeah. I had no, you know, and I'm like, damn, this is pretty damn cool that they can, like, you know, enclose them in something like this and they can use it as a weapon. And I believe King Kong Bundy got busted open in that match, or was it Hogan? One of them, I think they both did, but it was a hell of a match. I know Eric's probably like, he knows because he knows everything about wrestling. But
it's playing in his mind, dude.
Yeah,
the recording
like,
is playing in his mind. Yeah.
But
But there's no absence of awesome wrestling matches throughout the years, dude. I mean, even the cage matches, you know, when Undertaker, you know, choke slammed Mankind through the cage. Dude. Oh my God, we got Jimmy Snuka jumping off a cage, man. We had ladder matches. We had the 1 hour Iron Man match between Michaels and Bret Hart. I mean, dude, there was just so many great ones throughout the ages, man, that it's really hard to just say, that's the one. No, wait a minute. That's the one. Oh, wait, I remember this one. That's the one. Yeah. So it's like, dude, and that's why I think it's so great that we have, you know, this expo like squared circle coming along just kickstart that off again, man, to relive some of those memories, some of those moments. I mean, I'm looking at the guest list, dude, and I see Ted DiBiase and Rikishi, and I see the Headbangers, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, dude. You got
DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, dude. Last year was my first wrestling expo. I'd never been to a wrestling expo. I've been to conventions, but I've never been to a wrestling show like that. And that was so crazy, man, to just walk in. And I'm like, I was 5 when I saw you wrestle. And I was like 7 when I saw you wrestle. And it's just insane to be, you know, in my mid, late-ish 30s and just get to shake the hands of these people and really just thank them for what they do. Cause I know a lot of people, you know, they kind of write off pro wrestling as just this men's soap opera, you know, but honestly, these people are putting their bodies on the line day in, day out. They work such grueling schedules. If you're listening to the show and you think pro wrestling is just like this big fix, I mean, yes, some of it is, but like at the end of the day, what's not fake is them getting hurt a lot of times.
Do not take away the physicality.
Watch some Jeff Hardy ladder matches. You tell me that shit don't hurt. They feel pain. They're human. They don't just, you know, they're not action figures that don't feel this shit. They absolutely do. And having been to several matches, especially like when I got to go with Eric to Impact, I mean, you can see the bruises, dude. That's real. That shit's real, man. They don't just put makeup on their backs and shit.
Tell them about the editing they had to do to Impact on that show.
Yeah, this guy, by the way, he's out there. Just so I don't have to edit this later, I'm going to not say what he said, but he's like out there saying, F you, Eddie Edwards, and he's getting the whole crowd to chant it, and I'm thinking, this is going to get edited. So we go back. Because Impact Wrestling, they are recording their shows, I think, 2 weeks in advance. So I went to watch the show, the first show that was recorded. I did 2 tapings that night. And, dude, I'm like, and then they had to edit that because of Eric. They had to edit out that because of Eric. And Eric's getting all these, like, FU chants to go in. And, or you're a bitch or something chants. And I'm like, dude, like.
Because I was saying, shut the F up, Eddie Edwards. I told him, F you, Eddie.
I can only imagine. You're watching the show, and then you hear the crowd noise where it's just static. I was like, oh, yeah, that's because, you know, this guy over here said something there.
Have you been to a major promotion show before, Victor? Have you been to one? Where did you go? Who'd you see? Where'd you go?
Dude, the last one that I went to, dude, this was at the Forum. This was like a long-ass
time. Holy crap, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Like I said, to me, this my wrestling era, my time was when I was a lot younger, dude. So I don't even remember who the hell I saw at that time, dude. But we're talking about Los Angeles at the Forum,
man.
Dude, who the hell did I see? I don't even fucking remember, to be honest with you, man.
90s.
I'd have to go back. I'd have to look at the show. It had to have been mid-90s. Mid-90s. It was before they went ahead and shut down the Coliseum for those type of events because they stopped doing them there after a while.
Yeah.
But,
wow.
I want to say it was one of the last shows. It might have been a SmackDown show.
Okay.
I remember seeing Blue. But I don't remember, dude. I'm going to have to look that up, dude.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Yeah. I don't even remember, dude.
That's like bad.
I haven't been to this much wrestling in a long, long time since I moved down here to the Ohio Valley. Because for those who don't know, the Ohio Valley is there's a lot of wrestling history down here where Eric and I live. We both live in the same town. And so there's OVW, Ohio Valley Wrestling, which used to be the
training ground.
The
They were like the indie league for WWE for a while.
Yeah.
Basically. So that's where like guys like John Cena, Brock Lesnar, Shelton Benjamin, Rico, and many others got their start, was there. And I actually live literally like probably four blocks away from where those guys wrestled when they started their careers.
The original building.
The original Danny Davis Arena. Yep. So I've seen a lot of wrestling here. It's really been great because when I grew up, my mom did not like me watching wrestling. So I had to sneak and watch like Monday Night Raw, and I had to sneak and watch like SmackDown. And I had a big group of friends I went to school with that, you know, we were always like, oh, what's The Rock? What are they going to have The Rock do to like, you know, Triple H and all this and that? And we were what you call a smart mark. So if you don't know wrestling terminology, a mark is someone who essentially like, you know, kind of acts like it's real and all the things are that they're not scripted, and you can, and you mark, and they call you a mark because you just kind of like believe the stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're a smart mark or a smart, you know that you know about the business, you know the terminology, which now the veil has been pulled away for many decades now. With the IWC, Internet Wrestling Community and stuff, you know, talking about it. You know, we were those kids that were smart marks. I mean, like, we knew that this was like, you know, the matches were scripted and they went a certain way. So we were always like, say, okay, who do you think they are going to win? And then who do you want to win? You know, like.
That's so funny, I've never heard of that, though, the smart mark business.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's a wrestling terminology. There's so
they actually got a company called Smart Mark Video because it's a bunch of marks.
Yeah. There's heel and face and lots of other wrestling terms.
Tweeners, you know.
Tweener. Kayfabe is like a person that's essentially just in their character, basically.
Like Brian's going to a show this coming weekend. He's going to actually see me work a show instead of be the fan, you know.
Yeah.
So it's he'll see all the hassle and bustle and everything else I'm gonna go through. You know, a taping, you know, where we're like, okay, shoot, play this video, you know, play this song, you know, it's like,
the only terms I know is the baby face and the heel terms. That's it. Oh, yeah. Other than that, it's all like,
there you go.
It's new terminology for you there.
Yeah, it is. I've never heard of the smart market thing. That's pretty cool. That's it. That's interesting, dude. That's what it is.
Of terms that, you know, you hear people talk like that and you just get down, you get the wrestling lingo down. So, I've got that down.
I mean, heck, I have a AOL screen name called Rage the Nova Mark, aka Hollywood Nova from ECW. Like,
have you, Victor? Have you introduced your children to wrestling? Like, have they watched any professional wrestling yet?
Do it on TV. The most they've done is Monday Night Raw, and that's not
sorry,
me, dude. That's not through me. That's through Grandpa. Because the man loves the stuff, man, and he catches it every Monday night. And then we would be over at you know, at the in-laws, and you know, Monday night rolled around. You know, he's watching it, so he's chatting it up with them and stuff like that. But that's the extent of it, dude, because they never really latched onto it.
Yeah.
So they know who some of the wrestlers are, obviously. But
I'll say everybody knows who a lot of people are. I mean, whether you
John Cena is, not, you know what I mean?
You know who John Cena and The Rock are. You know who Stone Cold Steve Austin is. You know all that stuff. I want to ask you, Eric, since you've really, of the three of us, you're the one that's really worked in the business and alongside people.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite moments from working in different promotions and stuff? Like some people you got to have some really cool experiences with, things like that.
There was a one time working in Indianapolis. We were doing a benefit. I actually told you this story not that long ago. We did the benefit for the tornado victims from the state fair. Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And I ran the music for, it was OVW show. We had it under a tent next to a bar. The bar was being ran by Kevin Furtig. If you know, that's Mordecai.
He's a realtor now.
Kevin Thorne and, you know, WWE.
I've met him before. Yeah.
Billy Gunn was on the show and, you know, one of the guys told me, you know, hey, go ahead and start fading the music out. And Billy Gunn's like, turn my music back on, asshole. I was like, okay, sorry. So I was like, you know, I've worked with guys like Eugene, you know, Nick Densmore. I've known Nick since 1998. Doug Basham, working with him is always, you know, love, awesome work, you know, because I've known Doug since 93, because, you know, OVW, you know, started here in Jeffersonville back in 1993, and it wasn't called OVW, and people are like, what was it called? Nightmare Incorporated, you know. And like, I'll show Brian like the OG buildings, and you know, there's the second one, and then the first one is on the other side of the Mechanic Street one, now it's a daycare center. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've worked on the independent shows, you know, going to Knoxville, Tennessee a couple years ago and meeting Dr. Tom Pritchard, you know, formerly of the Heavenly Bodies. And all.
Oh, yeah, he's great. I've met him. He's pretty cool. He's pretty cool.
And like, I was wishing Kane was there because we were right next door to where Kane and Tom Pritchard trained wrestlers. I was like, man, this would be cool to meet Kane, you know.
Yeah, man.
You
know, Kane's pretty fucking cool. I got to meet him last year, too.
I met Kane once, and I thank God I was wearing black today because I literally ran into him with a piece of pizza. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Literally, I ran into him.
That's pretty
it's crazy. Like, I never thought I would ever be in the business, you know, but it fell into my lap, you know.
Yeah.
19 years ago when they were like, hey, we need a DJ. Okay, boom, here we go.
You know.
That's crazy how life works out that way, though, man. You know, that one chance, that one opportunity, and then you're down a path you never thought you'd be down. You know?
That sounds like really cool, song, right?
Yeah, I mean, people like, you never said you're going to be a DJ in wrestling business. Your dream job was to be a firefighter. It's like, well, you know, due to head injuries that I suffered years ago, the fire department I was trying to get on, they're like, we can't take a risk on you because your head injury, because they got my records from the hospital, and they was like, we can't take a risk. So I was like, well, DJing it is, you know. And
yeah,
I mean, I've done some big events. You know, I've worked Caesars, Indiana. I've worked Louisville Slugger Field. The Sports Room Speedway. I've actually got to work in a world famous wrestling arena here in Indiana, the Evansville Coliseum, that held a lot of wrestling events for USWA. They had
nice
ECW there. So I was like, that's nice. Cool. I got to be in a building that had a lot of history to it.
That's pretty cool, man.
It's awesome. You know, and I'm like, I'm honored. I got to do all this.
Yeah. See, my thing about professional wrestling is like, I'm not someone that watches it all the time like I used to. Yeah. Just because like WWE has gotten so bad, like it's not the product that we grew up with, obviously. And it's just,
it's hard to
like,
watch.
It's the same people that are the champions all the time. And it's just, you're just like, you know, you got so many people that are hungry that want to be the champion that you're just not giving it, you're not giving the opportunity. And I don't like that when a company does that, which is why I kind of prefer AEW more, because they give a lot of guys great opportunities there. But I will say that until the day I die, whenever that may be, I will always watch WrestleMania. I think that's kind of the cool part about WrestleMania for me, is that you don't need to know what's happening. It's just
WrestleMania.
It's WrestleMania, dude. Like, you know, it's a Super Bowl. You know, it's going to be, it might not be great, but as a whole, but there's going to be some pretty damn great spots and stuff that you'll want to see.
Yeah,
and some surprises, you know, like, I know they're unifying the titles, which is kind of cool. I don't know how it's going to work, but that's going to be interesting. The main two championships are unifying them. But there's
always ask you this, Brian and Victor,
we're going to get to see Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestler, and he hasn't done that in 2 decades. That's going to be crazy as hell to see him come out. That's going to be badass. I can't wait. So I mean, I'll always watch WrestleMania. Like, I remember. This is so funny. When I was a teenager, when I was like 18, I consider being 18 a teenager. You're still a fucking teenager at 18.
Yeah.
You might think you're an adult, but you're not. So I remember when I was like 18, 19 years old, we used to go to Hooters. That's right, Hooters. In downtown Indianapolis, and that's how we watched pay-per-views. You know, back in the day when you had to like actually like call your cable company. I know some of you kids out there are like, what's pay-per-view? No, it's
what's pay-per-view, right?
You had to actually call the cable company and order a pay-per-view over the phone. But then you could also do it from a set-top box too. But you know, we grew up kind of in a poverty-stricken home, so like we didn't have like that. You know, we didn't have the money to spend $64.99 on the
$60.
So,
yeah.
So we would go to Hooters because Hooters was playing it. And I remember me and a bunch of other guys, we just order, you know, a bunch of wings and just fucking watch a show, man. And it was great. And those memories I'll always cherish, because like it was almost as if like you were at the event, because everybody that was there that night was there for that.
So you get the, you know, Rey Mysterio chant, people chant 619 and stuff like that. It was actually pretty fucking cool.
You end up spending $64.99 on wings anyways, huh?
Hey, man, you know, I mean, you can get for fucking $65. That's a ton of wings, dude. Shit, man. That's a lot of wings, man.
Like, I remember going to Buffalo Wild Wings for that. Like, we would get there so early because if you didn't get there early, you know, you'd be standing and waiting for a table to open up.
Yeah, that's right.
We had to get there early. We had to get there super early. Like, we had to get – it's like pay-per-views usually start at, like, 8, 9 o'clock. So we would get a table at, like, 6:30, and we always had, like, this spot. It was, like, our spot because I would roll in with, like, 4 or 5 of my boys, right? My wrestling boys. We'd go in and, like – they'd be like, oh, you, it's you guys. Oh, we got you over here. You know, like, we didn't forget you. And we'd be there like 6 and be eating wings and shit. And then, you know, we hanging out and talking with other people that were there that we knew. So it's kind of like you had, it's kind of like in a weird way, you had like season tickets to like wrestling pay-per-views at Hooters, and like everybody had their spot. And
like, Brian and Cruz tables right over here, dude.
Yeah, like, man,
he's like, got that table.
That's how like when I would go to BW3s, like we had our table and they were like, oh, your table's back there with all the plugins, because I would do the results for the pay-per-views. That's why, Victor, if you ever, you know, hear people call me a spoiler king, that's why, because I would
He's a spoiler king.
That is fucking eyelash in my eye. It's been bugging me all damn shit.
Let me ask you this, guys, and I'm get your opinion. What is your thoughts about WrestleMania for the 3rd year in a row being 2 nights again instead of 1 night?
You know, I don't know, man. I think that they're trying to give a lot of people opportunities, but at the same time, it's the same people getting the top opportunities. So it's kind of like, okay, you're, so I think it's a little bit of greed. All right. It's a little bit of greed. They are a business. They want to make money. I think they're trying to make up for lost profits from COVID.
Yeah.
Because they went for a whole year without having any fans in attendance. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of ticket sales you are losing as a business. Not only that, but they had to pay to rent out one of the stadiums down in Florida, and because they were doing shows exclusively out of one of the stadiums. I forget which one.
Then they had to move to another stadium, and then another
They had to rent out another. So, I mean, think about how much money they had to pay to rent out the stadium.
Yep.
On top of losing ticket sales. And then they also had to do WrestleMania out of their own damn performance center. So they probably had to move all kinds of shit around, which that was weird. That was so fucking weird to see them do it at the performance center. That was
the smallest WrestleMania they ever had.
And
that's crazy the way they were doing it.
I mean, you got to think, isn't it crazy to think about that WrestleMania 1 was in Madison Square Garden and 2 years ago it was in the damn WWE Performance Center? I mean, you talk about the biggest arena at the time. Right? And then they had to do it in like the smallest and the performance center isn't like
in the parking lot, right?
But it's not that big either. And they had no fans. It was so, man, that was such a weird time. Like no chanting, no fan.
You didn't have one fan in the building at WrestleMania 36. There was a fan in the building.
That was weird. That was so weird. Like to just have empty arenas.
It was a transition period, dude. You got to keep that in mind, too, because it was weird. And I remember catching a show on TV during that time, too. And I remember, I forgot who the hell it was in the ring. He's over here pointing to nobody, you know, giving his spiel like if there was a crowd there. And I was like, and I was like, that's like, who are you talking to, dude? There's no one there. like it's like if they instruct, you know, they instructed them to just keep it going. Just, you know, you're saying like to the audience at home. But it's weird. It was odd. And it
was
just
so weird when Stone Cold Steve Austin came out that Monday Night Raw and there was like no pop, nobody.
March 16th.
I'm like, what the hell? This is the quietest you'll ever hear. You're going to actually hear Stone Cold Steve Austin's music in like surround sound because there's no crowd whatsoever.
Yeah. You get no drownage. Yeah.
That's super weird.
It was hard to watch that one. I remember that episode, like everything about it, because he stunned Byron Sexton. He stunned the
Street Profits. I'm telling you.
Wait, I don't just forget playing right here. Yeah, all of them.
Not forget.
All of them. Nice.
That's my thoughts about them doing WrestleMania back-to-back is great, because if you go back to WrestleMania 35, it was so freaking long with all the matches. Like, I remember leaving a wrestling show at 6 o'clock and the pay-per-view was already on. I'm like, are you
get exhausted. Yeah.
And then
I'll go ahead and finish up.
Like, I was hearing from people who went to WrestleMania, they said it was the longest night ever, and then, you know, trying to catch the train back to downtown New York to get their car, because, you know, you had to park across the bridge and take a train to WrestleMania 35. I was like,
Damn.
Forget that, you know. So I was supposed to go to Mania this year, but, you know, due to certain things, I can't go to Mania this year.
Yeah.
You know.
See, I'm going to be the guy looking from the outside, okay? Yeah. So I've stepped away from wrestling for a while, dude. So WrestleMania, first time I'm hearing it, that it's two nights now.
Yeah.
So talk to me like someone that was outside coming in, why I should care that it's two nights. Is it one of these deals where too many wrestling matches that they decided to just put everybody on the card and they don't even know who the hell the main event is anymore? Yeah. Or is it losing the luster that it once had where WrestleMania had the one main event, you know, the Macho Man versus Hulk Hogan or Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan, where that was the match and you knew that was the match. And they're kind of lost now. Is that what's going on? It's all muddy?
I will start this answer. I'll answer this first, and Eric, you go for it because I know you got a lot to say about this too. So for me personally, growing up as a kid, I do miss that big poster. You know, when you had the immovable object versus the what was it? The irresistible force. And you had Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, and you
Andre Giant.
That was the match, right?
That was the match.
The kid in me, you know, misses that. I just got chills, by the way, just from saying that. I missed that, right? As a kid, that you knew that the match of matches was this one match. That's kind of what I miss. But at the same time, I also understand what WWE's trying to do. They're trying to be more inclusive. They're trying to give another match that opportunity to shine. I will say that what I think sucks about having two nights, it can kind of be a plus and a minus. Is if you know what the card is, which I believe they do tell you the card for each night in advance, you can pick, like, okay, one, I'm not going to like these matches, so I don't have to order night one, so I can just watch night two. But at the same token, as much as they're trying to say, hey, this is the main event of night one, we all know the real main event is the main event of night two. That is the accumulative main event, just like it would be if they did a 6.5 hour long WrestleMania pay-per-view. Me personally, this is going to sound crazy. I missed that 6 hours. I miss knowing that there's going to be one day that I'm going to set aside every year where I'm going to sit on my ass, eat wings, and have a beer, and I'm going to be in front of my fucking TV for 6.5 hours for wrestling. I miss that. That's just me.
Yeah, those shows were marathons, man. The Survivor Series and all that stuff used to take forever to be done. Yeah.
Yeah, and I miss that. I miss that aspect. And knowing that it's all going to be one night, as the night progresses, we are slowly building to the main event of WrestleMania. That's kind of it for me. I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
God, like, to me, y'all might both agree, WrestleMania for the last couple of years has not had that big match feel. Because
that luster.
My favorite big match feel will always be, besides Hogan Andre, WrestleMania 17, Houston Astrodome, Austin Rock. Because that video
package they did. Yeah, dude.
Like, it had everything. You know, you're like, oh my God, I can't wait till freaking WrestleMania. Like, I remember watching SmackDown on Thursday night and seeing Rock and Austin beating the brakes off each other in the ring. Vince coming out with all the locker room, breaking them apart, putting them in separate locker rooms. And then it's like, oh my God, I can't wait till freaking Sunday to watch WrestleMania 17. You know, Austin Rock, Taker, Triple H, you know.
Hell yeah.
Like, it don't have that no more. Like, I haven't felt in years. I'm like I just looked at WrestleMania 3. WrestleMania 3 had 12 matches. And then WrestleMania 35 had 16 matches total.
Damn.
I mean, I can't do that. I mean, I like the two nights. You know, like right now, we don't know who's the main event really of either night of WrestleMania, night one, night two, because, you know, they're saying Austin and Kevin Owens are going to close night one, and then night two is supposed to be closed by Brock and Roman.
I want to interject on that. I personally feel there's a couple things WWE does that really kind of irks me. One, the thing that they do is they've been doing this thing where they introduce the champion first in a championship match. I hate that. I think the champion should always be introduced last. They are the champion. You know, they should get
dude,
that.
They switched it? What the hell is that, dude?
Yeah. What's that?
They switched it? Like, really?
They have. The they champ have done first? It. They haven't done it every single time.
But there has been matches recently. Like, I know Big E got introduced when he was the champion. He got introduced first for that.
That's some ass backwards shit,
dude, right? I hate that. I'm like, dude, no. The champion, the champion should always come out last, right?
Yeah, I don't like that. The challenger comes out first, dude. And then you give the champ the ovation they deserve, dude. Come on, man.
And I've always felt that your main title or titles should be the main event at WrestleMania. That should always be how WrestleMania ends, is with the big championship bout between two people. Now, I'll ask you this, Eric. I want to hear your opinion on this. Do you think that a lot of the WrestleManias we grew up watching, you know, you mentioned,
17,
all those matches, like, you know, Austin Rock,
yeah,
Hogan Rock, Cena Rock, all those, you know, those big, big main events. Do you think that they would have hit the same if they had all been two nights?
Not really. I mean, because back then, like, every match had a build. Like, they had a great build up, you know. And I'm like, Cena Rock, they started their build the night after WrestleMania.
The night after WrestleMania, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, that was, I like stuff like, because me, I'm an old school fan when it comes to wrestling. I don't like long term storytelling. I don't like that
2-3 months,
build and it's like, okay,
we're going to quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Everybody's been asking and talking about, okay, when Brock or Roman wins the unified title at WrestleMania, who's going to challenge?
What's next?
Brock and Roman again in the next pay-per-view and the next pay-per-view and the next pay-per-view until WrestleMania next year when The Rock's supposed to come back and challenge, Roman for the
Roman Reigns, his cousin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the slow build. Because – and that's what really sets this era – apart from the era we grew up in watching wrestling, because we had that slow build and there was always surprises around every corner. That's what makes me miss Stone Cold Steve Austin. You never knew what that fucking dude was going to do, whether he was driving a Zamboni machine in or a beer truck in.
He had that whole feud with Brian Pillman.
I love that.
Brian Pillman.
That was amazing. Yeah, dude.
When he took a Monday Night Raw hostage that one night.
He did, man. And I remember, I think there was a bit where Austin was busting into Pillman's home, I think. And that was a little
edgy. Pillman got a gun.
Someone got a gun, right? Yeah.
So I remember reading where WWE got in trouble for that because they had to basically tell all their sponsors, we're so sorry,
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Because they had children watching and they can't be like, oh, yeah, we're gonna have
Pillman like this with a gun, like, what's going on, Yeah, but that was that's what I mean
Pillman,
by
not too edgy.
But they went there and it was that story building
I miss the non-PG era of WWE. I miss when WWE had some edginess to it. I miss when they
edge dude, that's who it was. Thank you. I'm so sorry, dude. It was the Rock and Edge who I saw at SmackDown over at the Forum, dude.
Hey, okay. Okay, that's a good, I bet that was a good match. Those two are great. Yeah. I've seen them both.
When you said Edge, it like clicked. That's the guy. Him. But, him and The Rock was the main.
I don't necessarily miss like so the sorry, Raw dude. And Panties matches.
I had to say that, dude. I'm sorry.
I don't necessarily miss like the over-sexualization that WWE did, like the Raw and Panties matches, all that crazy shit.
Oh god, that
I don't miss that. But I would love to see, WWE kind of do maybe a light version of going to a more edgier tone. That's what I miss. Right. That's what I miss. I miss that element of surprise. Like throw crazy shit at me. Like, have somebody come out in the milk truck like Kurt Angle did that one night on SmackDown. Like,
Have
that crazy
the beer,
shit. Happen.
The beer truck, huh? Bring out
the milk
truck
was fucking hilarious.
Milk Mania running wild.
The Mike Tyson, I mean, how do you feel, Eric, about celebrities being at WrestleMania?
It's like goes back to the before WrestleMania was ever created when they were doing the Rock and Wrestling on MTV. When you had Cyndi Lauper and all these other celebrities on MTV and WWE, when they were doing like the big, Hogan versus Piper match, Piper said himself, he was going to beat up all the Liberace and, the New York Police Department, and I mean, I like it. As long as, like, I like Johnny Knoxville. great actor in a lot of the movies I've seen, but he does not belong in a match at WrestleMania. I hate that. Oh,
come on, man.
That's why I'm glad they took the belt off Sami Zayn, because if they put the belt on Johnny Knoxville, I'm done. You know, because...
I've always, you know, I mean,
yeah, that's just a gimmick, dude.
I get the celebrities because, you know, it's
I mean, I hate the belt anyway. The belt looks like shit.
Oh, really?
But, you know, hey, yeah. I did read the other day Cody Rhodes has officially signed the WWE. So we might see Cody either before Mania or the night after Mania.
Yeah, he's supposed to be having a match with Seth Rollins. And it's like, just do it already. Like, quit. Just let it make it happen. Put Cody Rhodes on Raw this next week and have him come out and beat Seth Rollins' ass. That's the thing, too. Like, I feel like because I know enough people that still kind of pay attention to it, I ain't got to watch it. You all watch it for me. So you guys can tell me all kind of shit going on. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, I know that guy. I ain't got to watch shit. You all do the
work. He found that impact when I told him, like, hey, I know that guy.
You do the work for me, so I don't have to watch this.
Dude, we just got to go hit up Eric. Hey, Eric, what's going to go down? What happened? You know, he's got the spoilers, man. He knows it all.
I mean, it's like, hell, man.
You don't gotta watch
Spoiler King.
Spoiler King. I live up to my name, bro.
The Spoiler King. So
like, I love NXT. You know, like I hate the new NXT. Like I don't know if you've watched it, Victor, but it's the drizzling shits. Like it's god awful.
It's terrible.
I'd rather watch freaking Barney or Teletubbies before I watch the new NXT because they're trying to push the edginess of like, hey, we can cuss now. You know, but I'm like, you're killing something that Triple H built from the ground up. You know, I mean. That's why AEW to me is like NXT, the better version, because you got, you know, Regal over there, Adam Cole, Bay Bay, you know, Red Dragon, you know, it's just all the good wrestlers that were part of NXT. CM
Punk. Oh,
yeah. Oh my God. Dude, I was in geek mode at Impact Tapings, and I was looking at my phone, and Punk's coming out to his Ring of Honor theme song.
Ring of Honor theme song, yeah.
I was like, this is freaking awesome, you know.
Hell yeah.
And like everybody's been saying, we need a new surge in wrestling. We haven't had one in years. The last time we had a surge in wrestling was 2016. And then when AEW came in 2019, it's like winning a new surge, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor. And Tony Khan's already said he's going to make it weekly. I'm like, please put on something we can watch every day. You know, I love watching Ring of Honor.
Let's put thought into this, man. I see that, you know, WWF or WWE, my bad. You know, is bringing back a lot of the, you know, stars of days past, such as The Rock and Stone Cold. Do you really think that's the right way to go? Or should we go ahead and look at trying to build someone up and make them the next Hogan?
Well, I mean, like John Cena said in a promo many years ago.
Right now, it seems like they're going backwards, dude. And it's not really landing, in my opinion.
Well, the reason why they brought Austin in because the ticket sales for Mania were shit.
Yeah. It's in Dallas, Texas too. So like it's his backyard.
That's
I mean, backyard, they got him. And you're right. And you're absolutely right. I hear what you're saying. I agree. Because people think Brock Lesnar's new. Dude, Brock Lesnar's been around for like almost two decades. Dude. He's been there for a long time. He's just been like there and back. He had a UFC career for a while. Then he went back to WWE for a little bit. Then he had one match in the UFC again. Then he went full time back to WWE. It's like he's been there. Like he's been there on three separate occasions in his current, you know, version there.
Cowboy Brock.
Brock's not like this new guy. Like he's been in the business for a long time. Roman Reigns has been there for a while. I mean, he's been there for, man, he's been there for 5, 6, 7 years now too. Like he's no stranger to WWE. My thing is, I agree. WWE's problem is they rely heavily on their legends. They rely heavily on talent that's been there for almost a decade, if not more. And they're not really pushing guys like Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, a lot of other people that were in NXT or currently still. And then they drop the ball on others that just ended up going to AEW, like Keith Lee, for instance. So, I mean, you know, they just don't use them. And it's almost as if they have lost how to
make stars
and how to turn people into superstars. Because think about it, the last real big superstar, I mean, we're talking like iconic superstar, is John Cena.
Yeah.
And he's no longer, he doesn't really do anything with WWE much anymore. I mean, he hasn't made an appearance since WrestleMania last year, I don't think. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's the last big iconic guy.
Yeah.
That they really made that is known internationally.
I mean, it took Roman 10 years to get over, like, he's as a heel. Like, yeah, he debuted 10 years ago. This, you know, because this year be 10 years since he debuted with Seth and Moxley, you know, Ambrose, whatever you want to call him. And, you know, yeah, they were getting booed, and then, you know, they started cheering for Roman, and then, you know, that one year that they wanted Roman to win the Rumble, but Batista won, you know, that pissed off the whole freaking building, you know. I was like, well, I mean, that's not our call. We don't make the calls on, hey, who's going to win the Rumble tonight? You know, it's Vince's call, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just, yeah, I mean, John Cena was the last big major WWE superstar, you know, that, you know, started.
Went off to Hollywood and made a career for himself. And, you know, almost he had a career very similar to The Rock. I mean, he went to Hollywood, has had a
successful
career in Hollywood. And he is a icon. He's an icon. He will be a Hall of Famer one day. There's no doubt about it.
And he had the it factor before he was even called The Rock or Rocky Mountain View.
Yeah, like a lot of people know. He's a third generation superstar. Yeah, he's a household name. And
I still remember the night John Cena debuted for OVW. I was like, who is this Vanilla Ice looking like wannabe coming in with the freaking spiked hair, black tights with white stripes on them? I'm like, who the heck is this dude? You know, and then I finally realized this dude has the it factor. You know, he can talk on the mic.
He's got the mic. That charisma. Boom. Charisma. Yeah. It's just, for me, it's like I look at the roster and I'm like, okay, which of these guys are going to be future Hall of Famers? I mean, I can't really see it right now because they rely so heavily on still Randy Orton, still Edge, still, you know, all these other people. Yeah. You know, you got Kevin Owens and stuff, which he's trying to build himself up and get himself up there. But I mean, I remember when The Miz was the champion. I was like, dude, I love this show. I love when The Miz was champion because it wasn't somebody that was like this big household name. And I want that again. And it's like, but the problem is like they give the belt to people like Big E or Kofi Kingston or, you know, guys like that. But they don't ever let them have it. Like they don't let them do something with it. They're just kind of like a paper champion or interim champion until
here's an unknown fact about Big E. When Big E won the belt last year, he lost every match except a DQ. I'm like, that's freaking sad. Every time the belt, he never won a match. I'm like, what the heck, you know? And then here comes the New Day Killer, aka Brock Lesnar. That's what we called we're calling Brock the New Day Killer.
Because he beat Kofi for his belt when he had it. So it's just
what needs to happen, and maybe it happened already. Because I've been out of the loop for so long, I have no idea, dude. Have we had a heel champion? Do we have a Yokozuna out there, Roman. Dude? Where Yokozuna was like
Roman Reigns,
king dude of champs.
Yeah. Roman Reigns is a heel.
He's the heel, big time of the heel. Like
the big over heel champion. Yeah. He gets tons of heel heat. He's definitely good at being a heel.
Because I've always figured, man, once you have the heel as a champion, then you can start building up the guys to be the one to bring it back to the good side, you know? I don't know. I don't know if that's what's going on, dude. Like, really? That's what
it is. That's Brock Lesnar, because Brock Lesnar used to be a heel, too. And then he turned face when he came back. And so now he's taking on Roman Reigns. It's what happens is they get stuck in this creative loop in WWE where they're just like, well, what do we do? Who else do we have?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. Have
plenty of people to choose from. You just do a really shitty job of using them.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't have a lot of guys to choose. I mean, there's Drew McIntyre was a good WWE champion. He was, you know, the WWE champion during the pandemic era. And then, you know, we're slowly getting out of it. You know, he loses the belt to Miz and he, you know, gets the belt back. And then Bobby gets the belt. I'm like, man, you know, Bobby was a good champion too, you know.
Yeah, but they didn't do anything with him, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like that problem we had with John Cena. He was a champion like all the time. And they just didn't know what else to do with anybody else. And so, we'll give this guy the belt for 2 months and we'll give this guy the belt for 6 months. And all that's going to end up happening is we're just getting right back to Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar again. And this is like, what, the fourth time we've had Lesnar and Roman Reigns main event?
Let's see.
Yeah, that's weak, dude.
Isn't that nuts, dude? Yeah.
They fought each other at WrestleMania 31, and that's when Seth won the belt when he cashed in Money in the Bank. And then I believe it was 33 or 34 when they fought again, and then they went to the next pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia. aka Blood Money, and they fought in a cage.
They've had this thing going on for years. It's just
I'm getting tired of it.
Everybody is. And they're trying to put Brock Lesnar over as a face, and it's like, okay, that's great, but like, it's still just Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. Like, we don't want to see this again and again and again and again. It's just it gets old really fast.
You know, like, I love Stone Cold, Triple H, and The Rock. It reminds me of that era where that belt bounced between those three, and then when Mick Foley was like, hey, I'll come and take the belt for a little bit. You know, I want to see someone get built, but there's nobody in the company right now that can be like, hey, I can hold this title. I can be the face of this company.
You know, this brand.
Get AJ the belt. AJ was a heck of a champion. You know, I love AJ.
But we know that all that shit starts at the top with Vince, man. So I don't know if Vince is just not, if he's lost it, man, because he's up there, dude. So I don't know. He's completely pushing 90 years old. Yeah, dude. Like I don't know if he just has a completely different mindset from what he had in the 90s and the 80s, where he built this up, this empire. So I mean, it might be time for Vince to step aside, just be like,
he's not gonna step aside. He's gonna be there till the day he dies. He's not.
Dude, I agree, and I think that's why. I think that's why it's where it's at right now. I think that's where it's at. Where it's right now.
I'm just whenever Vince McMahon passes away, it's gonna be really interesting to see what happens to WWE at that state at that point. Like, who's gonna be making all the decisions? Who's gonna get the head control of spot? You know, who's gonna. What's the environment, if you will, of the WWE going to be? The landscape, there it is. The landscape of the WWE going to be when Vince McMahon passes away, and nobody knows. nobody knows. But interesting guys, to see, that is all time we have for this week's show. But before we go, we have some very special announcements we want to get out of the way. We didn't want to tell you guys this at the beginning of the show because we did not want to take it away from, you know, Adolfo and Ed being on our show, which, by the way, thank you guys again for coming on our show.
Hey, I can't wait to Squared Circle Expo.
To talk about Square. Hell yeah, dude. Talk about Squared Circle Expo. This, guys, is our very last DragonCast. We've been doing this show for over 10 years now. So many episodes. We've almost got to 100 episodes. And we've had multiple people host this show. I know I've been the mainstay here. Victor has been the other person that's done more shows with me than anybody else now I've done this show with. But that does not mean that this is the end, guys, because out of the ashes, if you will, of the Dragon Cast, there's going to be a whole new podcast. It's gonna be, I mean, I'm not gonna say like
like the Phoenix. Like,
was that
Phoenix.
Your Napoleon Dynamite impersonation? We're gonna we have a brand new podcast we're gonna go ahead and announce tonight. It's gonna be called The Next Level, and this is not a show with just myself and Mr. Victor Salazar down here. No, this is gonna be a podcast from the domain gaming, pop culture, entertainment. And what's going to be exciting about this show is that there's going to be episodes where Victor and I are not going to be on the show. It's going to be hosted by those that work with us on the domain, such as Eric. You guys are going to get to Josh, Kona. You guys know Kona. Kona's been on this show before. Andrew, he's been on this show before. He helped me start this whole show. Andrew did. We'll have, of course, my wife will be on, we'll be doing Raven. We'll be doing some episodes here and get excited. And Josh, of course, can't forget Josh and Josh. So, we're going to be taking a 2-week hiatus. So we will not have an episode from us until April 11th, which will be the very first episode of The Next Level. And it's going to be a big one because we are going to have every single person on the domain be on the show at the same time. And
Monday night.
It's going to be like our WrestleMania. You guys are going to be here. The main event. You guys are going to be here to listen to all of us here as we let you guys get to know all of us. You know Victor and I. You know Eric now too. And you guys are going to get to know Josh a lot more. And of course, you know, y'all know Kona and Andrew, and you'll get to know my wife even more as well, because we're all going to be on that show at the same time. So I'm super excited about that.
So what this means is, this is the last episode for our Spotify, iHeartRadio, and all that. So we will be on a different, we'll have different links posted. We're going to have a new link tree up and running. And in 2 weeks, we will see you guys over on the next level. It's been a pleasure doing this show. My heart has been with this show for a very, very long time. And, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be that much different, because we're still going to have guests on this show like we have in years past. You know, we have a potentially really awesome show in the works in October, which I won't talk about, but Victor knows all about that. We've got that coming up. And
I think the big thing to really keep in mind is that we're going to definitely diversify the show, man.
Yeah,
we're going to have so many more personalities that are going to be joining us from time to time. They'll have their own type of show from time to time. So there's going to be, you know, just a bigger conversation to be had, man. We have so many great people together, and they're all, you know, brainstorming and having different types of topics of interest, topics where they're more of an expert on, or I wouldn't say expert, but just, you know, more knowledgeable, dude. Absolutely. You can create better conversations amongst others, and it just, it's a great way to bounce off each other, man. So I'm looking forward, just like the name suggests, man, the next level. We are ascending. We're jumping to the next level.
We're leveling up.
So it's not just going to be Brian and I.
Leveling up version.
Brian
of
and Eric, myself and Eric, Kona and myself, Raven and Brian. So it's going to be, you know, we're going to jump around, and we're going to find something that we should have, something that you guys should love. So looking forward to it, man.
Since we're, you know, making some announcements, I decided, you know, I've kind of told Brian about this. I want to do a thing later, you know, in April for 6 weeks straight. I want to do a wrestling trivia. Winner wins my money.
Oh, nice.
Winner wins your money.
Yes.
I know where you live. I'll just go get your money.
It's going to be some hard questions, easy questions, you know. And I think it'd be really cool, you know, like I want to do it live, like on YouTube, whatever, you know, where one, we can, you know, definitely, you know, control like who's in there, like, because
we'll figure it out.
And I have seen a lot of trolls on certain shows, you know, but I was like, you know, I want to do this, you know, like, it's, you know, not a lot of money, but hey, $30, you know, that's a lot, you know, that could help out for.
That can definitely help out somebody.
Hey, that sounds like a Twitch stream to me, man. That sounds like
a Twitch stream. That sounds like a definite Twitch stream.
It's like we're saying, man. There's so many. Eric is now part of the team. We're going to have so much different stuff going on. We're going to have the Twitch stream is going to be going. YouTube's going to be going. Podcasts going to be going. Websites going to be going.
The website's going to have I might have a nervous breakdown the week of Mania, because I have to do so many results. Starting with Monday, and I don't have end fun. Until the following Sunday. So, like, I have it's gonna kill me, be like dying because of all the results I gotta put out. You know,
we got you back.
Be good, man.
You know, I've assembled what I like to call my own personal Avengers team. When it comes to the nerdy fun things we're all into, each of us all have our own things that we enjoy, and we're all gonna have some content coming out when our website officially launches on March 28th, which is a week from when this episode airs. So 1 week from this episode, we will be going live on the internet, and we're going to have some great content. We'll have some a couple convention reviews from me. I don't know what Victor's got planned, but I'm sure it's going to be a banger of an article.
We're going to have to wait and see, baby.
We'll have some wrestling results from my man Victor or my man Eric over here. And then, you know, I know Koma's cooking up some cool stuff, and Andrew's got some things working out, and I know Josh and Raven both are going to have some amazing content for you guys. So we are excited. If you haven't yet, definitely follow us on YouTube, youtube.com/TheDomainGPCE, because, well, that's where you're watching this last episode of the Dragoncast, is on The Domain. So definitely be sure to subscribe to our channel. We probably will be doing some giveaways on this show too at some point. So be sure to subscribe if you want to win some free stuff. Because we
have money
away free stuff on this podcast before. So thank you guys that have listened to us over the past 10 years, who have listened to us and have been supportive of us. We absolutely appreciate it. We wouldn't be where we are today without your help and support. And we hope that you continue to follow us over as we enter the next level, quite literally, of our podcast. So
Thank you, Victor, man, for doing this with me. It's been a pleasure. And as we continue to go venture forth into our new show, and we put
pleasure is all mine. You know that, man.
Hey, man.
And that call came in to get it back going. I was like, let's do it, because you know
that's
when the good times roll, man. So no, man. But it's likewise though, man. You know that it's fun doing the show, and I'm glad that, like I said, we're just ascending, man. We're jumping to a new platform, jumping to a new show with the same energy. You know, I hope just different.
Oh, we're gonna have even more energy for this new show. We're bringing it, man. You guys are gonna have, you know, it's not gonna be just Victor and myself every week. It could be me and Eric. It could be Victor and Kona. The possibilities are endless.
It's endless.
On this show, what kind of stuff we'll be talking about. But of course, we will be covering some of the same things, but a lot more things, because different personalities mean different things to talk about. So thank you guys so much for watching this episode. Thank you once again to my man Eric over here for joining us on this last episode.
Last episode. Special thanks to Ed and Adolfo for jumping in as well, man.
Yes.
Squared Circle, something you guys should all be looking forward to. And if you can attend, get those tickets, man.
You know,
they're sold out already, huh?
So, well, the 2-day passes, all the VIP stuff, individual tickets you guys can still get.
Still there, by man. Way, go jump on them.
Eric and I will be at Squared Circle Expo because, you know, thanks to our friends Adolfo and Ed, they're going to have us come out to review the show. You will be able to see that review on the domain. You'll be able to go for that.
I'll be there in spirit, man, because I'm on the West
Coast. You got to come out, man. You got to come down here, Victor. We got to do some.
Come on, Victor.
The wheels were turning when he said, I want this to be the one event where the buddies jump on a plane and da 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 da. Like, dude,
that's you. You're the buddy.
That's going to be the one. I'm going to have to jump on a plane.
It's the WrestleMania without all the BS and no Vince McMahon.
Right.
So the wheels were already turning, man. I was like, that's going to be the one. That's going to be the one. Man.
Well, thank you guys so much for watching. And until the next level comes out, thank you guys for your support, and we'll see you later. Take it easy, guys.
Later.
Peace.